Blog Talk Radio.
Greg Skrull Show, and we're just hanging out, having a good time, watching a little PGA golf on the old boob tube, and just hanging back, having a good night, getting ready for a good, healthy, well, I guess it's good and healthy, dinner for tonight. What? Well, I thought the Chipmunks had just took over the theme song, our show opening song there for a second. Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073. Or you can reach me on Twitter at ringannouncer1.com. Or ringannouncer1, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to put a .com behind everything. Go figure. You can also contact me on the Facebook page, The Gregory Skrull, or The Greg Skrull Show. Or you can contact me on my personal Facebook page, Gregory Skrull. And we got the chat room up and running, so if there's something you want to talk about, something you got a question about, feel free to come on in the chat room. Hoping to have Clint Davis on the show here a little bit later. The card for Extreme Night of Champions has been released. Like I say, I hope we'll get Clint Davis in here and we can talk about that big show. Once again, that's October 26th, Fort Smith, Arkansas, at the Fort Smith Convention Center. Got that event going down. Don't forget, November 2nd and 3rd, Muskogee, Oklahoma, Strike King Muay Thai and Kickboxing is proud to present a Muay Thai tournament. 2 days, some of the top Muay Thai fighters from across the United States and around the world are going to be coming in for that event. So a lot of great stuff going on. Don't forget, also, we got Cage of Honor, September 28th, Carthage, Missouri. We got that big event going down. Once again, we want to say hi to our friends over at Fayetteville Nutrition Center. We want to thank them for being a part of the Greg Skrull Show. We also want to say thank you to Battleground MMA for being a part of the Greg Skrull Show. A lot of great stuff going on. Hey! Oh my God.
I wondered how long you were going to let me sit in there.
Well, I thought you were T. Tilly. I'm sorry.
No.
How you
There's
doing,
only,
buddy?
Only one Skype with the name Davis spelled backwards. Speaking of, I'm doing good. Speaking of Battleground, I had the owner of Traditional Championship Wrestling get a hold of me a couple of days ago and said, hey, if you know anybody, any MMA teams who want to book a legend like Dan Severn for a seminar, let me know. And so I put it on Facebook today and immediately got a hold of Scott. Battleground got on Facebook and said, we want to book him. And so I made contacts and shared phone numbers and things like that. So hopefully we're going to have Dan Severn down here in November. Hopefully, if everything pans out the right way. And, yeah, man, this could turn into something good if it all works out.
Sweet. Now, I just mentioned, and I don't... They released a card for Extreme Night of Champions.
We have, yeah, we've done that, and you know, that's something I'm going to do on the show tomorrow. But I don't mind doing it today on the Greg Squirrel Show, because I know we may have some of the same listeners, but we may have a lot of different listeners too. So
right.
Let me squirrel down here to the fight card. We can cover it anytime. We don't have to cover it right this second if you want to get the headlines and stuff.
Well, you know, we're just kind of hanging, you know, we're just kind of play it loosely by ear, because I didn't know if you were going to be here today. So
yep. I in fact, I was sitting here typing something up real quick, and I looked down and it said 4:02, and I was like, oh my gosh, right in time. I just got done sending an email, and so I got done right in time. I was on Dream Elite Radio last night on Sportaholics Anonymous, and man, we talked a lot of football, a lot of fantasy football, a lot of baseball. I mean, we talked a bunch of stuff, but yeah, I'm ready to go now.
All right.
We do have one headline that I want to talk about real quick, and it's
okay.
It's coming out of the New York, New Jersey area. Have you seen this?
Aaron Hernandez, what did he do now?
No. Dr. James Andrews confirmed Wednesday that Mark Sanchez has a labral tear in his right shoulder, and the Jets quarterback is likely to have surgery that would end his entire 2013 season. Now, that was, let me take you back to game 4 of the preseason. That was in the fourth quarter of the last game of the preseason, when the Jets' idiotic coach puts a third-string offensive line in. It puts his starting quarterback behind a third-string offensive line, and this is what happened. This is how he got hurt.
Wow.
Now we're stuck with Sanchez, has no 2013 season. He's going to have shoulder surgery, and they've got a rookie quarterback, Geno Smith.
I thought the Jets coach was smarter than that. Apparently,
no.
I was wrong.
No, the guy got rid of Tebow and has started Sanchez for like the last 6 or 7 years. The guy's an idiot.
Yeah, obvious. Obvious.
Who keeps Mark Sanchez in the game that long? I mean, this is he's a horrible quarterback. The fans boo him. I mean, how many people want to play for a team where your home fans boo you every time you take the field and they cheer for the other team?
Right. Hey. It's crazy. I mean, just some stuff going on there, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, really? Did they just do that?
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff that they have no business doing. Sanchez obviously was trying to make a decision on whether or not he wanted to have surgery, but apparently there was more instability in his shoulder, in his throwing arm, than there has usually been. Which has to be quite a bit, because he's always been unstable throwing the football. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sanchez has never, I consider him a flop personally, because he's just, they expected so much out of him coming out of college, and he just hasn't produced. And I don't know if that's because of where he's at or just what, but, you know, they just kind of expected more out of him than what he's produced.
Yeah, definitely. He just hasn't done anything. I mean, that's why the Jets are perennially one of the worst teams in the NFL.
All right. Oh, I was looking here. Did you hear the story yesterday about five SEC players, including a couple of Alabama players?
Oh, there's going to be a lot more than that come out. Did you see the picture of the Alabama signee, the recruit for Alabama,
yes,
that was holding stacks of cash in that Twitter picture?
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, really? Wow.
You know, I was talking about this last night on Sportaholics Anonymous. I don't have a problem with players getting paid. I think they should be paid. I was telling this story last night on the show. I was talking to my dad on my birthday a couple of days ago, and you know, my dad was in Tulsa, what was known as the Game of the Century, 1969. It was Nathan Hale High School against Booker T. And it turned into the biggest game Tulsa had ever had until like the year 2000, I think, when Union and Jinx met. But, you know, my dad was recruited to play football. He was offensive lineman. He went to play football at Kansas State. And he told me about when he went to Kansas State, there was, you know, some people showed up and they had money. Some people showed up and all they had was a toothbrush to their name, you know, to play football. Nobody got to make any money. And they gave them $15 a month. They gave the football players $15 a month, and that was for laundry money. And that's all they got. I mean, I realize this isn't, you know, 1970 anymore, and they probably get a little bit more than $15 a month, but it's probably the equivalent to that still. You know, I mean, these people need to make some money. You know, they talk about, well, you're students before you're athletes. No, they're not. The only reason why these kids go to school is to play football. They're athletes first. Then they're students second. That's the bottom line. They need to make some money. You got a TV going in the background?
Yeah. Can you pick it up? I'll go I'll turn
big
it down.
Time. Yeah, it's throwing me off.
Yeah, I'll run turn it down.
The Greg Squirrel Show.
All right, I'm back.
It was like I was getting my own feedback right in my ear, you know, because I wear this big high-tech headset and stuff, you know, whenever I'm talking.
Well, you're just high-tech like that. I mean,
I am high-tech like that. I got a big old microphone with a big spongy foam pad on the end of it, and then got my headset.
Because we do practice safe radio, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we put spongy foam things on our microphones.
Yeah, right on the head of that bad boy. Yeah, it's practicing safe radio. Good stuff,
yeah.
Man. We sat around on that radio show last night and watched the Yankees pull out a good win against the Orioles, something that we needed. And almost gave it up, man. It was the bottom of the ninth, and the Orioles were up, and we had two outs, and all of a sudden it was 5-3, and all of a sudden it was 5-4. We let somebody score, and then Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in the history of Major League Baseball, and a Yankee for life. He ended up shutting it down. So the Yankees play again today at 6:05, here in just a couple of hours, maybe less than 2 hours, against the Orioles. And things are heating up, man. Now, the Cardinals, did they end up losing last night? I forgot. I was watching that, and the Brewers were up on them 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh, I think. And I'm trying to find.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to find it, too.
Oh, no. The Cardinals ended up coming back and winning 5-1.
There you go.
Yay, yay.
Man, I am happy. I don't know if you listened to the show in yesterday, but can you believe I actually had a caller yesterday from Oregon State?
Oregon State, that ain't bad.
From the state of Oregon, and the topic we were talking about, and I know you saw the Facebook post, was Native American mascots.
Uh huh.
And this guy brought up a good point, and it's like the point I brought up yesterday. I mean, I would feel I'm very honored that sports teams want to use Native Americans as mascots. And I don't have a problem with it as long as they're doing it tastefully. But
here's the problem,
some...
Greg. They're not doing it tastefully. There's nobody has a mascot called the Native Americans.
But they're using stuff that associates with Native Americans. But they're still doing it, what I consider, tastefully. Because we are Redskins. We are Warriors. We are Braves. Whatever. So,
right.
You know, so as long as they're not doing anything that's construed as derogative, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I think it is in a way because, and of course we talked about this on the show one time. My stance on it is, you know, I just don't think it's right, any of it. I mean, because, you know, what if you had a team out there called the Blackskins or the Yellowskins? I mean, it's all racially driven. It's all, you know, we're at a time and a place in life where we can't do that kind of stuff anymore. I mean, if we, you know, if this was, 1835 and we were starting a football team, yeah, Redskins, that'd be okay if you had a bunch of Native Americans out there playing, you wanted to call them the Redskins against the Union soldiers or whatever, however you want to look at it. I mean, of course that would be okay. But this ain't the 1830s. This is a time and a place where we don't need to be identifying a group of people based on their skin color. And like I said, if there was a team out there called the Blackskins or the Yellowskins, there'd be hell to pay in this country. So, you know, I understand why there's a movement to get rid of Redskins. A lot of people just don't care for it. I mean, you know, and they're not even, I don't even consider Indians, because they're not from India. There's Indians in this world, and they live in India where they're from, you know. Christopher Columbus was the biggest hack I've ever seen in my life. Dude gets lost, acts like he discovered something that was already there, takes the credit for it. There's been people living here for centuries and centuries, and this guy starts calling people Redskins, and all of a sudden we got teams called the Redskins, we got, you know, Indians, we got, right, they're not even Indians in this, well, there's Indians in this country, but they're not Native Americans. Native Americans are what they are. They're Native Americans. They were here before everybody else was.
I know. Did I ever tell you about the time I told off the Grand Wizard of the KKK?
David
or,
Duke?
Or no, well, not him, but it was one of the, not David Duke, but one of the top dog, but like the next level Grand Wizards.
No, I don't think I heard that one.
Oh, man. You talk about crowd going ballistic. The old Geraldo Rivera show used to have a call-in segment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there watching it one day, and he's got one of the 10th Dragons, whatever they call it, for the KKK, and they have some neo-Nazi skinheads, and, you know, and they're spewing their venom about, you know, how the white people need to take back America, you know, blah, 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 all this crap. And I managed to get through. They had the little 800 number, and they said, if you got a comment, feel free to call in, and we'll put you on the air. And I managed to get through. And I just flat told him, I said, hey, listen here, butt wipes. If anybody needs to gripe and complain about our country being taken away from us, it's the Native Americans, because you can sit there and you can say what you want, but I'll promise my house cat, every dime I have, that my ancestors were on the boat greeting your ancestors when they stepped off.
Well, they weren't greeting, but they were there, though.
And the crowd went nuts.
I bet.
Oh, man, them boys did not like that at all. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, you got all these other ethnic groups saying, hey, this is, you know, America's our country, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, shut up, because my ancestors were here when your people stepped off the boat.
Yep.
Anyway, once again, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So anyway,
one of them things, I guess. I'm trying to look for more crap in the headline. What do you think about good old JR getting fired from the WWE?
Now, I heard he resigned.
No. They're making it look like a retirement, but it's not. It's not a retirement. Here's the deal. Do you remember when we talked about Ric Flair at the 2K14 thing about how he was, you know, getting off track and he was in trouble with the WWE? Remember when I was telling you about that?
Right.
Okay, apparently Ric Flair had brought up, he wasn't supposed to do this because it was an actual panel at the place there. He had brought up his son dying. He had brought up the fact that John Cena is a hardcore drinker. You know, just saying a lot of things that ruin the image of the WWE that he shouldn't be doing. Jim Ross got blamed for not reeling him back in. Jim Ross's job to babysit Ric Flair.
And that's going to be my question. Why is it Jim Ross's job when Flair is an employee of WWE?
I don't know. I mean, if they want babysitters there, they need to go hire some babysitters. They need to get a babysitter with Ric Flair 24 hours a day if that's what they're looking for. But, I don't know why they want to blame it on Jim Ross. So that's what their base was for firing Jim Ross, was the fact that Ric Flair went way off subject and never returned. And so, so goodbye, good old JR.
Well, I love JR to death. I remember watching JR, Jim Ross, at Mid-South, and next to Gordon Sully, God bless his soul, JR is probably the most knowledgeable mind out there when it comes to professional wrestling.
Well, as far as commentary goes, I mean, Gorilla Monsoon, I think, for me, was probably the most knowledgeable. But, Jim Ross, obviously is up there. Yeah, there's probably a good top five, and of course, he's going to be up there with the best.
Oh, well, yeah. But, he's got his barbecue sauce, so, I don't think he's hurting for money.
No, I doubt he's hurting for money. It's just, wrestling was his life. I could have all the money in the world, but if you take stuff like this and XFI and you take that stuff away from me, I'm just going to be sitting here twiddling my thumbs doing nothing.
Oh, I agree. But, you'll see JR pop up once in a while, and I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere, So,
he'll pop up at TNA. He'll be a WWE man for life.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't going to say TNA. I'm just going.
I know. I'm just letting any listeners out there who are going to automatically think that he's going to be popping up in TNA because it's already on the buzz. There are a lot of people are saying, "Oh, he needs to go to TNA. They'll let him be an announcer." Well, he's not going to do that. He's not going to go to some second rate, third rate, whatever piece of crap place.
Right, right. Oh, and I agree, but whatever does happen to JR, I've been a fan of his for a long time. Been watching him since I was a kid, and I'm 43 years old now. So, I just wish him much luck in his future endeavors. And I still want to meet the man. So,
bucket list right there. Hey, have you seen this headline about the 49ers?
Well, what now?
Well, they're playing the Seahawks here this weekend, and they're calling them the She-Hawks, like like women hawks. Yeah, they're calling them the She-Hawks here. And one guy, Dixon. Who is this guy? Anthony Dixon, a fourth-year player, season high for carries is 70 as a rookie in 2010. Posted his thoughts on Twitter. Extra weight on the racks all week, getting less sleep preparing for these She-Hawks. I love hostile environments. I'm going to feel right at home. That's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, to jump back on pro wrestling real fast, I pulled up the top 10 pro wrestler quotes in history.
Oh, God.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh,
all right, number 10 goes to Roddy Piper. Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
Right.
Okay, number 9, your buddy, your pal, your friend, hey, yo, Scott Hall.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Number 8.
Ooh. Oh, that was it? Hey, yo?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey,
nice.
Yo.
I like
hey,
that.
Yo.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. Number 8, Randy Savage. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Number 7, Mick Foley, of all people. Have a nice day.
Terrible.
Number 6, Hulkamania is running wild on you.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Degeneration X. If you're not down with that, we got 2 words for you. Number 4, can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Gosh.
Number 3, that's the bottom line, cause Stone Cold said so.
There's something ahead of that?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Number 2, I've wined and dined with kings and queens. I slept with allies, dined on pork and beans. Had to get the lisp in there to get the true essence of Dusty.
For effect.
And number 1, quote, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Woo!
Woo! Here's some honorable mentions. John Cena, You Can't See Me.
Boo.
Ted DiBiase, Everybody Has a Price. Hulk Hogan, Say Your Prayers, Eat Your Vitamins, Dudes.
Brother.
Quote Raven, quote the Raven, Nevermore. The Rock, finally The Rock has come back to wherever the hell I'm at. but honorable mention, Ravishing Rick Rude. What I'd like to have right now is to all you big, fat, Arkansas hick, teethless women, sit down, shut your mouths while I take off my robes and show you what a real man looks like. Al Snow, what does everybody want? What does everybody need?
Ed.
Ed, that's right. And I'm surprised this one didn't make it into the actual 10, because Undertaker, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And can you believe Mark Calloway was nothing? He had some success in WCW with the Skyscrapers, with Dangerous Dan Spivey, and then he went to WWE and became the Dead Man.
Nice. I had a couple of honorable mentions in there, and I forgot what they were because you kept going. I lost track.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I was just listening. I may think of it here in a minute.
So there you go. I wanted to kind of throw that out there. Top 10 wrestler quotes in history.
What about the Chris Benoit quote?
He had a quote?
Never mind. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Hey, I want to jump back on the one yesterday, because this guy's name is Patrick Michael, and he lives down in Louisiana, so he lives in what at one time was the hotbed of professional wrestling, and so he's been putting out these articles. He did one yesterday, top 5 mic workers, and basically the top 5 wrestlers that have been or are the best at working the microphone. Number 5, The Rock.
And they should be way higher than that.
Oh, I agree, because that's what's funny about The Rock is half his stuff he comes up with. They give him bullet points on what to talk about, and the rest of the time The Rock just goes off his head.
See, back in the Attitude Era, they didn't give him bullet points. That was the days where they didn't do any of that stuff. And then all of a sudden they started with writing scripts for people, and then you had to go out there and recite everything, and if you didn't get it exactly right, they would fire you. And now Triple H is getting it back to the point where they're doing bullet points, but he's a proponent of mostly having people go out there and shoot from the hip, you know. And yep. You can see that when Edge came out the other day and was saying stuff.
Oh my God, that was classic.
That was a great segment, man, because, you know, I like it now because you could tell by the looks on these guys' faces that this stuff isn't, you know, what they're saying is not planned most of the time. I mean, these guys are shooting from the hip, and it's getting personal, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I like it like that. I don't like it when they write scripts and things like that. You don't need writers. I don't know why they've got, you know, writers for each wrestler. I mean, they need let's come up with a good storyline. Let's come up with something, you know, different segments and things like that. But, you know, let's let these people do what they need to do. You know, the best thing about watching TCW live is the fact that they let their guys come out and be wrestlers. They let their guys go backstage and shoot promos and make themselves good on the mic. Because if you're not good on the mic, what are you? You know, it's like, who's the one I'm thinking of? The wrestler he's great in the ring, but he gets on the mic and he just, Lex Luger. Was just
right.
God awful. The Steiner brothers, God, they didn't even know what they were saying half the time. It was awful. I mean, they could wrestle like no other, but they just had no time on the mic. And when they got time on the mic, it was ridiculously stupid, you know? I mean, Lex Luger stuttered through he didn't even know if he was trying to say hey or hi. I mean, he had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never would have said something like that.
There you go.
What about the other quote, Wolfpack in the house? Anybody like that one?
That didn't make the list.
That sucks, man. That was one of the best of all time, Wolfpack in the house. What about For Life? What about that
one? For Life, yeah. Hey, guess who came in at number 4 on this list of best microphone workers? And I think this one should be ranked higher.
Stone Cold?
Nope, CM Punk.
I don't know if I would put him in the top 5.
Ric Flair came in at 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with this comment because this guy gives little notes on each wrestler. Before every minute detail of wrestling promos were scripted as they are today, these three wrestlers were truly legends on the mic. Ric Flair was incredible on the mic in that he could deliver a variety of amazing promos. When the situation was appropriate, he could play the funny heel. Flair could also get worked up to the point where it looked like his head was going to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And Ric Flair could show real emotion when he was playing a good guy. All right, number 2. Once again, the American Dream, that's the road. And you know, I agree. I kind of halfway agree with this one, because I remember Roddy Piper came in number 1 as the best mic worker.
I disagree with that.
But I also found him funny in interviews, because I remember he was doing a feud with Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. And 1 week, Buzz Sawyer, you know, they had this big match coming up, no DQ match. And they're talking about how they don't feel any pain, blah, blah, blah. Well, but 1 week before, here's Buzz Sawyer walking around with barbed wire wrapped around his head. Well, so then the next week, here's Roddy Piper hanging by a chain around his neck from a tree. And he just sits there. He's like, Buzz Sawyer, nothing can hurt me. And, you know, Roddy Piper won the match. But that's when they really worked the storyline. They didn't throw something together in the 3 weeks before a pay-per-view. They really worked up the story. And they gave the wrestlers more than 5 or 10 minutes to talk about something, you know. So anyway, This guy has all kind of stuff. Five reasons why the Triple H Daniel Bryan storyline isn't working. Top five retired WWE champions not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, who are the? Give me some of those.
All right. Top five wrestlers not in the Hall of Fame. Ivan Koloff came in at number five.
All right, I'm good with that at number five.
JBL.
Wait.
JBL comes in at number four.
He was never WWE champion?
Yeah, he was WWE champion, but he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, not in the Hall of Fame. Oh, okay, never mind. I thought, I'm sorry. I was looking at something else, and I thought you said guys who were never WWE champion. My bad.
Yeah. No, top five retired WWE champions not in the Hall of Fame. Now,
I wouldn't put JBL in there just yet, though.
Well, I definitely would. I would put Batista comes in at number three.
I wouldn't put Batista in the WWE Hall of Fame. I wouldn't do that yet.
I would come closer to putting Ultimate Warrior before I would Batista.
Oh, that's fixing to happen. You mark my words. This next WrestleMania, Ultimate Warrior's going in.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
Well, okay, then if Ultimate Warrior goes in, then I definitely see Savage going in.
Now, Savage's family won't let him go in. Ultimate Warrior's ready to do it. Ultimate Warrior has talked about conversations that he's had with Triple H and Vince McMahon, and that they're ready to let the past go and let bygones be bygones, and they don't want to run into a situation like they've got with Randy Savage. You know, Randy Savage's idiot brother, Leapin' Lanny, who in my book was never even a top 500 wrestler. Some people may disagree with that, but whatever, that's my opinion. The guy was terrible, in my opinion. He's trying to say that they need to put all three of them in together, his dad and him and Randy, all need to go in at the same time. And that's ridiculous. You don't take somebody like Macho Man and separate. You know, you got to put him in his own separate deal there. You can't just take a guy like Macho Man Randy Savage and stick him in a group of people. Like, that would don't like be putting only the Four Horsemen in and not, you know, putting Ric Flair in by himself. You can't do that.
Because this is the question I have. Did he ever hold a title? Did Lanny
Leapin' Lanny?
Yes.
I'm fixing to go look that up.
As far as I can remember, he never held a title in WWE.
In WWE. All right. So yeah, I'm about to go look. Let's see, championships and accomplishments. Atlantic Grand Prix Wrestling. Let's see, Gulf Coast Championship, Great North Wrestling, International Championship Wrestling, NWA Detroit, NWA Mid America Pro Wrestling. Nope, never did.
Nope.
PWI ranked him number 350 on the best 500 singles wrestlers during the PWI years back in 1993. But I mean, come on, man, that's 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
Now this guy never did a damn thing ever.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's some of your honorable mentions for former champions not in the Hall of Fame: Nash. Big Sexy, Kevin Nash, Triple H, and Sid Vicious.
I don't know if I'd put Sid in there. Not really a big Sid fan.
So there's your honorable mentions. Let's see. Let's go back and look at that one list. I'm just interested to see what they say on this one. Five reasons why the Triple H Daniel Bryant storyline isn't working.
Because they're beating it into the ground?
Yeah. Reason number five, the Shield have been reduced to Triple H's personal security force. I agree.
They dumbed the Shield down like they did Ryback. You know, Ryback could have been the biggest beast of the East, and then, since Bam Bam Bigelow, but now they've got them like they're a bunch of lackeys, Triple H's, you know, midians or whatever.
Yeah. Number four, Big Show's ironclad contract. Although Triple H is now referencing Big Show's ironclad contract, I suspect he thought that most wrestling fans had forgotten this minor detail when he started the storyline. The Twitter feed is inundated by followers wondering how Big Show could be so afraid to speak his mind with an ironclad contract. So there's that one. Oh, we got to mention our favorite supporting player. Number three, WWE Champion Randy Orton is just a supporting player. One of the reasons why he wasn't finished with the finish to SummerSlam was that it did nothing but put over Randy Orton as WWE champion when he's basically just a supporting player.
Mm-hmm.
I know that WWE Money in the Bank winners always cash in at opportune times, but the way it happened here gave Triple H all the glory. Since then, Triple H has been Daniel Bryan's main antagonist, with Orton only ranking slightly above the Shield in the storyline's pecking order.
I don't know what they're working on harder here. There's four different angles here. Are they trying to look? This is going to be hard for me. Is it the fact that they're trying to turn the Big Show heel? They're trying to beat him down and break him down little by little, that they're going to turn him into the corporate giant? Or is it the fact that they're trying to really put over Daniel Bryan in this? And I don't see how he could get over any better with the fans than he is right now. Everybody loves Daniel Bryan. He gets the biggest pop. Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, and CM Punk are the three top players, in my opinion, are the three top players in the WWE who get the biggest pops out of any crowd, any place, any time, any night. Or are they trying to work up Randy Orton's side here? Because Randy Orton is really, honestly, he's been a non-factor for a long time. I'm kind of personally sick of Randy Orton. So is it that? Or number four, is it the fact that they're really trying to build up the Shield? Are they trying to make the Shield a factor? Because,
no.
I mean, you know, month after month, they had the Shield. They come out of the crowd. They beat up one person. They jump back out. Everybody runs out to the ring. They leave. They go back upstairs. That's what it was, month after month after month. And now it's like they have a reason to stay down there because they've got, you know, Triple H telling everybody back off the Shield and all this other stuff. And,
yeah. No, I think, and I'm gonna think it's number three. You mentioned number three. I mean, they've buried, or they're trying to bury, their three guys that can go. Bryan, Ziggler, who was the third one you mentioned?
CM Punk.
And they've buried the Shield. Because they bring the Shield in, the Shield's getting over and everything, and then they bury them. Just like WWE has buried the tag team division, they've buried the Shield by including them in this storyline.
I agree with that.
So you know, because I was impressed with the Shield when they would come down and actually wrestle. I mean, you can look on YouTube and you go back. And you look at some of their videos from NXT or wherever of Ambrose and who's the other one? Not Roman Reigns.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Ambrose and Rollins. Those guys can go. I mean, I was reading some stuff, and they said some of the best matches to ever come through WWE developmental had four wrestlers involved: Punk, Bryant, Rollins, and Ambrose.
Yeah, but Rollins is that two-tone haired skunk hippie-looking kid that doesn't do anything.
But he could go. Like I say, you go back and you go YouTube NXT and you.
No,
pull
I'm
up-
good, man. I'm as uninterested in NXT as the next guy.
But oh yeah, I mean. And I think that's – I see it. Once they get the storyline over with, Daniel Bryan gets the belt, if they'll be stupid if they don't put the put in Ambrose and CM Punk with Daniel Bryan and let them three tear the roof down every single night, because those three working together, they can go.
Yeah, but you're forgetting Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he's one of the key players
Dolph.
In there.
And Dolph. I keep forgetting Dolph. I'm sorry. And Dolph.
These guys like Randy Orton, who came in right at the end of the Attitude Era, I mean, it's getting old for me. I mean, I don't know what to think about it anymore because, Randy Orton should have been a, and I don't know what he is, like a 6-time champion or something. He should have been like Christian, like an 11 or 12-time world champion by now, and should have, he and John Cena should have been trading licks all these years instead of John Cena and everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, their main event in The Rock, a guy who disappears every God knows how long. He says, oh, I'm back. I'm never leaving. Well, where the hell is he? He ain't been back in forever. And they take guys like Randy Orton, who could have been in the picture this whole time, and they make them mid-card guys. That's all they are, like Jericho. You know, Jericho, I mean, I understand he's got a band. He comes and goes and things like that, but you know, I mean, if you had him a main event player, he wouldn't be interested in anything else.
Right. That's the point I got. I've mentioned it before. What? For Orton to be around this long and be insignificant when they've cut talent that's 10 times better, what does the Orton family have on the McMahons?
They have a friendship. That's why Randy Orton was handpicked to be in Evolution.
I mean, let's not talk about what he can do in the ring, but let's look at all the stuff he's been accused of behind the scenes. How many sexual harassment complaints has Orton had over the years? But yet,
I've never heard of any.
But he's still there. Oh yeah, Melina.
Oh, well, that bitch, she'll
status.
Say anything. No, Melina will say anything to further herself in the business. She's already proven that.
Well,
that's
yeah.
why she hung on to John Morrison's nuts for so many years, is because she couldn't do it on her own.
So anyway.
I can't stand her.
But you got to love her entrance. Come on now.
I really don't care about it, to be honest with you.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Insignificant. Hey, guess who we got starting at 6:30 tonight on ESPN?
Who do we got starting tonight at 6:30 on ESPN?
Number 24 TCU at Texas Tech.
Woohoo! And the purple and whatever those helmets are.
Well, you know, TCU has already lost a game. And Texas Tech is 2-0. And let's see, TCU, they won last week. What did they do the week before? I don't know what they did the week before. They lost their first game to LSU 37-27.
Right.
They beat Southeast Louisiana last week 38-17. Now they've got Texas Tech. Wonder what Texas Tech has been doing. Let's check that out real quick. Looks like week one, Texas Tech beat SMU, and last week they beat Stephen F. Austin.
They still got a team?
I'm guessing. I don't know. Where is SMU? Is that in Texas?
That's in Dallas.
Okay, so they've played a team in Dallas, Stephen F. Austin, which is obviously in Austin, Texas. Now they're playing Texas Christian. Next week they've got Texas State. That's four Texas teams in a row.
Well, you know, are they afraid to come out of the state of Texas for their non-conference crap? Come on, guys.
I don't know, because after that they've got Kansas, Iowa State, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Baylor, and Texas. I mean, that's all Big 12 play. So, yeah, they've got those three non-conference games are all crappy teams in Texas. SMU, Stephen F. Austin, and Texas State. That's who Texas Tech is playing this year. They've got, four. They've got TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor are ranked teams on their schedule.
Right. I don't know, man. Do you think this stuff with Alabama and these players, do you think that's really going to get all the way up to Saban?
No, and the reason why is because something my buddy Brandon Dawes mentioned, ESPN has invested way too much money in the SEC for this to go anywhere, and that's why they're trying to level accusations at Oklahoma State. They're trying to take the attention off the SEC and what they've done wrong, because there's way too much money invested here. They don't want this to get investigated. Look, man, I mean, you know, if this was the case, you'd have teams like Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, teams like that. You would have them losing scholarships, being suspended from, you know, certain things, being banned from bowl games, being banned from the rankings. And you can't do that in college football. You can't take teams like Auburn and Alabama and people like that who have actually done these things. There's documents, documents that came out today that completely undermine everything that these guys are saying about Oklahoma State.
Okay, I'm about to repost a picture I saw on Facebook today.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting a caption with it. You're going to love this picture. Well, no, because you're not an Alabama fan, so you may not like this picture.
No, definitely not an Alabama fan.
All right, it's posted, so.
What the hell? Oh, my gosh. New level somebody of animal.
Somebody has taken this poor poodle. Dyed him crimson with a big A on his ass.
That's on his back, and they shaved it in there. They left that.
Or his back, yeah.
That goofy poodle hair, they left the A long and cut everything else and then bleached it. Man, that's precision work right there. You got to give somebody an A for effort.
Oh, yeah, you got to give them an A for effort. But think about the dog. Why he's thinking. It's like, oh, hell.
It's hilarious.
I've seen some goofy crap in my life, but that's right up there. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that on there just so you can see it.
That is nice.
Yeah. Did you hear about this? Granny Hulkster has posted some pictures from Nashville.
From the Tennessee takeover?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Where'd this other one go? I saw something else. Oh, yeah. From the You Think They Would Know Better department. Arkansas woman arrested on 11. Arkansas woman arrested on her 11th DWI charge.
How is she not in prison?
Bentonville police says a woman has been arrested 11 different times for for DWI. Is her last name Walton or Tyson or something? Let's look.
Or Hunt.
Or Hunt, yeah. No, none of the three. None of the three, so. But how does she, why is she not walking? I mean, she looks like she could pass for the Crypt Keeper on a Tales from the Crypt. I'm sitting there looking at a picture of this lady, and she looks like she could, yeah. Definitely related to Crypt Keeper on Tales from the Crypt. Hey, we got birthdays.
Who we got? Hold on. I remember my honorable mention for catchphrases, WWE catchphrases.
Yes.
Who better than Canyon?
Who better?
Who better than Canyon? You remember that one?
I remember Canyon.
There was T-shirts and everything. Oh, God, I wish I could find. Canyon was one of my favorites. And, of course, you know, he went through some hard times. He came out of the closet, and people didn't like that. He had drug problems, and he committed suicide a few years ago.
Right.
And Sad ending, but yeah, who better than Canyon? That was
who
one
better
of my
than
favorite.
Canyon? All right, here we go. Birthday time. I love this song.
Oh my gosh.
All right, hey, my good friend James Davidson, 53 years old. Renee Stout, 49 years old. Salvador Rojas, 20 years old. And of the Road Warrior Animal, Joe Laurinaitis has a birthday today. He didn't put his birthday on there, but there's your birthdays for today. You got anybody?
Let me go check. Let's see, home page. A gentleman with the Arkansas State Police, Desmond Benton, got a birthday today. And Melissa Eubanks, 39. That's all I got, two of them.
All right, buddy. I'm posting these on Facebook. Happy birthday. From the Greg Squirrely Show. All right. Does that music make the birthdays go better, or is it just me?
No, I don't like that song at all.
Oh, come on now. It can't be that bad.
I don't know. I've heard a lot better.
It's the Chipmunks. Hey, wait till Christmas comes around.
That is not the Chipmunks.
That
sounds like a couple of low-rent hamsters trying to sing. That is not... I know what the Chipmunks sound like, and that is not the Chipmunks. I'm going to send you a link, the Chipmunks doing Happy Birthday.
Okay, speaking of Chipmunks, hold on. Let's see. Chipmunks alternate Christmas song. MP3. This is funny stuff here. You know it's getting Halloween when Walmart puts out their Halloween or their Christmas decorations. Where'd it go? Oh, here we go. Oh, where's it going? Well, oh, here it is. Nah, that's not it. I'll find it. I'll play it later. But it's funny stuff.
What is it again?
It's the Chipmunks alternate Christmas song. Chipmunks Roasting. Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. I'll give you a little sample here.
Chipmunks roasting on an open fire, hot sauce dripping from their toes. Squirrels, fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows.
Oh,
that's fun.
Yeah, we'll be dragging that out at Christmas. Because nothing I hate worse than the Chipmunks at Christmas.
Why, man? That's like Kenny G sax music at Christmas. You got to have some of that.
All right. I get
it. Christmas, yeah, I'm telling you, man, you've never seen anybody at Christmas like me. Christmas is my stockings are still hanging over the fireplace from last year. I kid you not.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I love Christmas. I love getting out. I mean, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I start dragging out the lights. doing my light test. Then the weekend after Thanksgiving, I'm on the roof getting the job done.
That's what she said.
Yes, it was. Last night, but oh, wait a minute.
Hey
there.
Hey, I've got New England's defense is on. I've got them in my starting lineup here. How safe do you think that is tonight? What do you think? Do you think they're going to handle Geno and the Jets, or what do you think? Geno and the Jets. I just put those two together. Sorry. Do you think they'll be okay?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 42-14, New England.
You think so?
Yeah.
Man, I don't want them to get 14 though. I mean, I don't get any points for New England's 24 or 42, but you know, I just don't want them to. I just don't want them to give up anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they are projected. Let's see what they're projected. They're projected 24 points. They're projected to allow 16 points. They're projected to get 3.5 sacks. They're projected to get 1.5 interceptions, 2 fumbles, and half a touchdown. I don't know how they project this, the halves like that, but that's what they're doing.
Well, all right.
I'm hoping they moidalize them.
Moidalize them?
I'm going to moidalize you. Yeah, but I'm projected to win this week 150-109. And I know projections don't mean much because I was projected in both my leagues to win last week, and I didn't win either game. So I'm 0-1 in both leagues right now.
Well, you better get on it, big dog.
Well, I'm trying. You know, this week I've got RG3. My wide receivers are Dez Bryant, Dwayne Bowe, and Pierre Garçon. And then my running backs are Arian Foster and Steven Jackson. My tight end is Jason Witten. I've got San Francisco's kicker Phil Dawson and New England's defense starting.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Or I could put.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No.
Well, I was going to say I could put Pittsburgh's defense in against Cincinnati, but I think Cincinnati is going to just demolish Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to lose that game.
Right. Just have to wait and see, boys and girls.
Who better than Canyon?
Who's better than Canyon?
Steven Seagal.
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Nevermore. What about me? What about Raven?
Can you believe he actually started out as a preppy yipster named Johnny Polo?
Johnny Polo, that's correct. WCW, yeah. He was...
Well, no, that was WWE. Or WWF.
Well,
he started out as Johnny Polo.
Yeah, but then he kind of crossed his little preppy transition over into WCW, and they didn't want anything to do with it. And then he went over to ECW, and that's where he found his niche. He became hardcore, and then he came back to WCW, and then they kind of used him up for a while, and then he went back over to WWF, and then I don't know what he's doing now. But I think the dude, you know, he's a smart guy in real life. He's a very, very smart guy. And I think what they did was, or what he did was he saved a bunch of money on his car insurance by switching to Geico. No, he saved a ton of money. He saved a ton of money, and I think he's living the good life now. I don't think he's got to do much to work.
You know, a wrestler I always enjoyed. And he really didn't catch on as big as WCW thought he was going to. Vampiro
was, in my book, was one of the best we've ever seen. And he's wrestling with he's down there in AAA down in Mexico now.
Right.
So, you know, he's still going, and he's like 46, something like that, but he is still still one of the best. I need to look up some stats on here. I don't know why he wasn't used better than he was. I think it was, and I know that people could say, because of Sting, but I think it was because of the face paint, to be honest with you. I think he really kind of dumbed himself down a little bit. Oh, no, he's currently with JCW. He's currently with Juggalo Championship Wrestling as a wrestler and a consultant. His name is Ian Hodgkinson. He's a semi-retired member of the Citizen Crime Patrol organization Guardian Angels, acting as head of the group's chapter in Mexico City.
Right. You don't want to know what I think was one of the stupidest character changes out there?
The guy who went from the German guy, the dancer, to Berlin.
No.
Oh.
Well, no, that was kind of stupid.
That
okay,
was
this
horrible.
Yeah, Alex Das Wunderkind Wright.
That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah, and then like you say, he became Berlin. No, so this was going to rank right up there above Alex Wright.
Oh boy,
you remember Chavo Guerrero?
Kerwin White.
Kerwin White.
That's who he was when Eddie died. He had just made that transition. Because he and Eddie had just broken off, you know. Eddie was a main event player. They weren't doing the tag team gimmick anymore, and so they put Eddie on his own to be a champion and a singles wrestler, and they moved Chavo over to SmackDown and decided to make him. Or no, they moved Chavo to Raw, left Eddie on SmackDown as World Heavyweight Champion, and moved Chavo to Raw to be Kerwin White, and that's right when Eddie died.
The uppity white guy.
The uppity white guy. Hey, did you know that Vampiro?
Yes, his sister
used to be
hot.
Vampiro's sister?
Oh my gosh, she's like an ex Miss World nude something.
Huh. Vampiro used to be a bodyguard for the pop group Milli Vanilli.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to Google Vampiro's sister. I can't remember her name.
Wish I could Google his sister. Vampiro's sister.
Yeah, Vampiro's sister is former Miss Nude Canada.
August 2002, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we need pictures. Come on, guys.
All I'm coming up with is one of those Monster High dolls. That's all they're showing.
Well, there you go.
Crazy stuff.
Oh, man. Hey, did you hear that they're thinking about rebooting the, speaking of dolls and stuff. Oh, man, Layla L. Holy my. Did you hear that they are thinking doing another Child's Play?
I think we talked about that like a month or two ago.
Something like that. And the only reason I think about it is because I kind of got a thing for Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's all right.
She's all right.
Okay. I love
listening
the little...
to the Chris Benoit theme song in the background. I've got it turned down real faint.
Oh, crank it up.
Crank up the Chris Benoit song?
Crank up Benoit. I loved Benoit.
All right. Hang on. It's fixing to play.
Yeah, yeah.
I miss hearing that.
Oh, me too. I mean, that song just gave you goosebumps.
Yeah, it was one of those motivating. Every time you heard it, man, you knew that something was about to go down.
Hey, I heard a good song the other day. I was buying my latest CM Punk t-shirt. And the people say, why are you buying a CM Punk t-shirt? And I told them, the only reason I got this yellow CM Punk t-shirt is because it's got my initials on it. So leave me alone.
I just now thought about that.
Well, GTS.
That's right. That's funny.
I love, but yeah, oh, I mean, yeah, every time you heard Benoit's music, you know that a flying headbutt off the top rope wasn't too far behind.
That is very, very true.
And that's why his brain got scrambled and, oh, never mind. I think they're jacking him over. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think Benoit needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
I know why they're doing what they're doing, because it would be a bad image if they took a guy who murdered a child and a woman and himself and put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can't enshrine somebody who did that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's not who we knew. I mean, we didn't know that guy with the liquefied brain who had the brain of a 85-year-old stroke victim. I mean, we didn't know that side. You know, we knew the guy that went into the ring every night of the week and did what he did and was the best at what he did. And, you know, yeah, I feel like they're hosing him. I mean, like I said, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but, you know, to never – you know, don't put him in the Hall of Fame, but to never mention the guy, you can't erase somebody like that from history. I'm not asking them to give the guy a brass ring and all this other – enshrine the guy and all that. I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying you got to talk about the guy. You can't – you know, there's some great, great, great matches out there that Chris Benoit put on with some of the legends of the business.
Yeah.
And they're acting like these matches never even happened now. And not only are they cheating Chris Benoit, but they're cheating the guys that he wrestled.
Yeah. And that is the sad part is, like you say, you know, I mean, pixelate him, do whatever, but don't rob the other guys that were in the match. I mean, take a look at some of the matches between him and Dean Malenko. And, you know, take when he was the Blue Blazer, or not the Blue Blazer, Pegasus Kid over in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, boy could go. I don't know who I cried worse for, when he passed away or when Eddie Guerrero passed away.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, man, I've lost it a little bit when I shouldn't say lost it, but yeah, I shed a couple tears when Eddie Guerrero you passed away, you know, because back then I didn't read dirt sheets or any of that stuff. I was just a good clean wrestling fan who had always paid attention to the business, and then I don't know when I started paying attention to dirt sheets, but anyway, in November 2005, I remember I was sitting in my living room. I was living in Tulsa at the time. This was, of course, before Lily was born, and before I was married or anything, but I was sitting in Tulsa, and this girl named Emmy called me and wanted to come over, and I said, yeah, come on, and, you know, let's watch SmackDown. And so we turned on the TV, and completely, totally unexpectedly, that black screen showed up with his face and said, you know, 1965 to 2005.
Right.
And I turned and looked at her and I said, you have got to be shitting me right now. There's no way this is possible. No way it's true. Absolutely not. And they were all standing out there on the stage and did the 10 bell salute and all that. And I just, man, that was sad.
Oh, it was. I mean, I actually got to talk to Eddie Guerrero on the phone one time. I was doing a wrestling show. I was just coming out of my wrestling training, and so for the minor league promotions to help get the guys experience is you work as a referee while you're going through the wrestling school. And so did an event here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and the main event of the MIT. Of the show was Dan Severn versus Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And those two tore the house down. And that's how I got to know Bam Bam. But then they also had Hector Guerrero on the show.
Yeah.
And Hector was still growing at the time. And me and Hector got going. Well, we were in the back. They said, Greg, we're going to put you with Hector, because he got his Polaroid camera so the fans can get their pictures and stuff. So, Hector is your responsibility. I said, cool. Because I grew up watching Hector. So I'm like, cool. So anyway, we're sitting there in the dressing room, and all of a sudden his phone starts ringing. Well, he picks up the phone, and it's Eddie on the other end of the phone. And it was right after Eddie was still in WCW, and he had the accident where he ripped his calf real bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were on the phone talking, and Hector, he jumps up and says, "Hey, man, I got to run do something. I'm going to hand the phone to Greg. You and Greg talk for a while, and I'll be right back." And I'm like, wait a minute. This is Eddie Guerrero. You want me to talk to Eddie? Yes, talk to him. So we get sitting there talking about 5-10 minutes, and Hector eventually comes back. And it's like, wow, hey, Eddie, you know, take care, brother. Hope to see you soon. And, you know, just let you know we got you got friends and fans out here thinking about you. He says, hey, brother, appreciate it. We'll be back on TV in just a little bit. And it wasn't too long after that that he went to WWE and just exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll
always
remember. And
he did, too.
I'll always remember that night because here's Hector. Here, talk to Eddie. I got to run and do something. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we got to meet Chavo at a TCW event. I think it was in Clarksville, if I'm not mistaken. And he was late. I guess there were some travel issues or whatever. But, man, as late as he was, he came in and just tore the place down. And right after it was over, you know, he said in the ring he's going to be signing autographs. And I had made a sign, I think, that said Latino Heat or something, or I lie, I cheat, I steal. I can't remember which one it said.
Right.
I need to get a hold of my ex-wife. She's still got, hopefully she's still got that sign. I don't know. If she does, I'd like to have it because it's got Chavo's autograph. But, yeah, I rushed that sign over there. I mean, I bolted through everybody and rushed that sign over right where he sat down and slid that sucker right up there on the table. And that was the first autograph he signed that night, was right there on the sign that I made. So, yeah, I wish I still had that. I've still got Carlito's signature on a fake apple, and I've still got the Midnight Flyer mask. But, you know, all the rest of the autographs that we got, I think they're all, I think Summers still has them all. So I'd kind of like to know about that Chavo autograph.
I mean, you know who, one of the very first wrestling matches I went to, and it was down at the old Fort Smith Municipal Auditorium before it became what it is today. Dusty Rhodes and Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that was classic stuff right there. And then, you know, we come up over the years and got to meet guys like Eddie Gilbert. Like I've always told people, Eddie Gilbert, first wrestler to take me behind the scenes, take me into dressing room because I had a tray of Cokes in my hand for him. I mean, just classic stuff. And somewhere, I have a picture, and I was still in junior high school. I got a picture of me, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Dr. Death Steve Williams.
That's cool.
So, lots of great memories from the day, and that was before they get swallowed up by the big promotions and they kill out the regional promotions. And
yep, true story. It's sad how that works out. Hey, what do we got, like 12 minutes left?
Yeah, we got about 12 minutes. You want to go home?
No, I want to hit the fight card real quick.
Hit the fight card. Go for it. I knew there was something we were supposed to be getting back to.
Now, we're doing it a little different this time. We've got an undercard that's going to start at 6 p.m., and then our main card is going to start at 7 p.m. So, running down the fight card real quick, we've got Rocky McGahee and Jared Basket fighting at 190. Matt Dawson and Bradley Warrick fighting at 170. Larry Sellers and Aaron McKenzie fighting at 170. Daniel Trowbridge and Ben Gresham fighting at 155. David Kill versus Bruce Fimple at 125. Jason Bowling and Rodney Palmer fighting at 140. Ethan Lindsay and Andre Brassfield fighting at 145. Tyler Jones and my man Son fighting at 185. And we got Brandon Hill and Cameron Padilla fighting at 170. We've got Derek Rowland and Zachary Cashin fighting at 155. Jeremy Green and Jaron Miller fighting at 155. Austin Anderson and Jake Blurton fighting at 155. Jonathan Bowling and Matt Goss. That's the big rematch of the century right there. They're going to be fighting at 155. John Michael O'Mara and John Branham fighting at 155. We've got heavyweights. We don't have an exact weight on them yet. Tim Starson and Art Acosta, they're going to be fighting in the heavyweight division. Jonathan Gooch and Michael Priest fighting at 145. We've got Catherine Grasshopper and Morgan Solis fighting at 135.
There we
Dustin,
go.
Yeah, Dustin Freeman and Eric Pearsant fighting at 135.
Right.
We've got Christian Snyder. His opponent is to be determined. Dustin Keeter is making his return after that nasty knee injury. Dustin Keeter's coming back against Wesley Richards at 185. Then we've got Al versus Derek Woodard for the XFI middleweight championship. We've got Bobby Honecker and Trace Kizia fighting for the flyweight title. We've got Brandon Bledsoe and Robert English fighting for the lightweight title. David Grayson and Sean Bales fighting for the XFI super heavyweight title.
There we go.
And then we've got Nico Koliostasis, and his opponent is to be determined at 205 for the light heavyweight title. So, yeah, we've got David coming back from the Moore, Oklahoma area. Sean Bales from Wolfpack. Coming down from Grove, from the Grove, Oklahoma. And these guys are going to be duking it out at super heavyweight. So, I mean, we've got a pretty stacked up fight card. You know, we've got one, two, three, four, five. We've got five championship matches here at the end of the night. And it's going to be good.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a very good show. And
you
I'm going to do that.
We've got a lot of contenders here on underneath these title fights that are going to be part of the deal, you know. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys that are making their name to come up and fight for some championships here later on.
Yeah. Well, I had B.J. Smith from Nemesis Fight up in St. Louis on the show yesterday. He wanted to call in and promote his show, and he wanted me to put the word out to any of these fighters down in this area. You know, if they want to come up to St. Louis and everything, he runs a really good promotion up there, and he takes care of the fighters. I mean, motel and gas and that stuff. So B.J. Smith, he wanted me to put the word out that if there's any fighters in there that are interested in kind of spreading out a little bit, trying some different areas, that he would love to have some of the guys down here make their way up to the St. Louis area and fight on his shows up there.
Nice.
So, real good interview with him yesterday. I was actually excited to have BJ call in. So, that's what we got, my brother.
Well, that's good stuff. Yeah, no, I was business hopping yesterday. I was here and there and all over the place and getting stuff done. That is what she said. That's why most of them are mad at me. But, no, anyway, I was trying to get some things done for this next event, and some things are working out. We're scouting a spot for the after party, hopefully downtown, and hopefully we can make that happen. And, we're just trying to get stuff done. We're at that point now where I think now that the fight card's out and I saw a preview for the tickets and the poster today, and we kind of proofread those and made sure everything looks good. I think they're going to be starting to go hit the presses, and they're going to start rolling out here pretty quick. So, so we're going to talk about that on the show tomorrow, Friday at noon. And then, there's all kinds of stuff that we got. Now we're going to be at the point where the show's going to pick up because we got the fight card out. And I know things are going to change. You know, we've got over a month, about a month and a half until the show. But, you know, that's a lot of time, yet it's not a lot of time. You know, it's a lot of time for the fans because they want to see an event right now. But, it's not a lot of time for us because we still have a lot to do. So, we're still, racking up sponsors and still looking, like I said, for that place for the after party and trying to make some stuff happen. But, I think, man, I honestly, to be honest with you, I think we're really just now – XFI, I think we're really just now starting to get our feet wet. You know, I mean, I know we've been doing this a while, but it's really starting to catch on. People are really starting to pay attention, and I think it's only going to get better from here. So, you know, the shows are going to start, XFI Live is going to start picking up a little bit. you know, we'll just try to make things happen from here on. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, all right, my brother. Well, man, let's get it ready to head to the house. That's all.
Yeah,
I got to say.
I got a buddy of mine I'm watching some football with tonight, and we're in the same fantasy football league, so I'm sure we're going to be keeping up with some of the same stuff, and it's going to be good.
All right. Well, Clint Davis, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Oh, yeah, what's good, everybody? Tune in tomorrow for the Friday edition, 4 till whenever they tell us to go home, and we're just going to have a whole lot of fun heading into the weekend. Once again, don't forget our phone number, 347-326-9073, and you can catch me and Clint right here on the Greg Skrull Show tomorrow, right here on Blog Talk Radio. See ya!
Peace!
To Bumpy, I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like the rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky, I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this, straight gangster Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous, I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny.